Reverend Ray?
I'm waiting for the signal. Greetings and welcome to... Just a second. Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, a show about disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice, an advocate, voice your opinion, and voice your concern, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which means inclusion in society, which means living independently in your home and in your community. America, welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, your friendly neighborhood networker. Our motto is increase your network and you'll increase your net worth. And behind microphone number two is the hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. Our listening audience, welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Yes, I am Reverend Radio Ray Razor, your host. And although I've been blind for more than 55 years, when I was a mere lad of 13, a big firecracker exploded and blinded me in both of my eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I rise, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. Greetings, and how are you today, Miss Renee?
Well, I'm looking forward to the show, Reverend Ray. We've got a full show.
All righty, then, if that's the case, then give us the lineup.
Well, we always begin with the adventures of Reverend Ray and his German Shepherd seeing eye guide dog, Raven. And then in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly news, which affects the disability and senior communities. And then at the end, you challenge us with your call to action. And we introduce our guest to you today. Ever watch a film and a key piece of action takes place? No dialogue, and you are left asking, what happened? Or you go to a museum, and the catalog says the exhibit is great, but it doesn't describe the exhibits. Or you go to the theater, and a patron shushes you because you are describing what is going on to your seatmate. Okay, the Metropolitan Washington Ear offers services that fill in those gaps and more. And today we are joined by Neely Oppliner, Executive Director of the Metropolitan Washington Ear, and Stuart Brown, the Dial-In Program Manager, and Sylvia Rosenthal, the Editor of the Washington Ear Newsletter and Service Coordinator. So we have a really big show.
All right, and one of those I'm really, really have been a subject of whispering at the theater. But okay, so as Jackie Leeson used to say, and away we go. So you know I like to start the show with the adventures of Reverend Ray and the German Shepherd seeing that dog, Miss Raven, brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf, and that's WOOF. Boy, they have great pet food, especially during this particular time, that they will deliver, or you can come up and pick the food up, and they're located in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Please visit their website, www.thebigbadwolf, and that wolf is W-O-O-F, wolf, wolf. The Adventures of Mr. Ray and his German Shepherd seeing dog, Reverend Ray. We have not been doing a lot of adventures given this virus. Now, a lot of people have texted us, emailed us, and asked us about can your dog catch this virus? And there have been a couple of occasions that we have known about and been reported to us that your dog have been tested for the virus. As far as they know now, because we know some people have a couple of dogs that live together and have them spread it from one dog to the other or to your cat, but the dog has been isolated. So those who have service dogs, that's so important to us, it's just not a pet, You need to be careful about, you know, people touching your dog, and especially people that are using Metro Access, and just paying attention to, you know, your dog will lick things, and, you know, and also you're just going to have to be extra careful. And also for those who are not getting out that much and working their dog, because the dog needs to have their work to keep the skills up, you know, go on line and just put in exercise for dogs, and you can get some videos and all stuff to show you how to exercise your dog in the house, and you can make it a fun thing. I mean, something as simple as teaching your dog how to walk backwards. You know, just put a little treat on his nose and walk him back a little bit. And but it'll just drive it to you. And some people like to teach their dog how to stand up on two legs and dance with him a little bit. So there's some exercises and just a simple exercises of walking them up and down a flight of steps, but you need to be mindful in keeping your dog. If not, after a while, your dog started getting anxiety and, you know, acting out like the children do. And I'm sure some of you all that have children homes know what the acting out is, and you're probably ready to act out with them. But be that as it may, please pay attention in terms of your dog exercising. And this segment has been brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. And you can also call them at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. That's the Big Bad Wolf. Back to you, Ms. Renee.
Well, today we are joined by Neely Oppelner, the Executive Director of Metropolitan Washington Ear. Welcome, Neely.
Thank you, Ms. Renee and Reverend Ray. I'm so happy to be here with Stuart and Sylvia and with you to tell your audience about the Metropolitan Washington Ear.
Well,
we're glad
to have you all. Go ahead,
Ms. Great
Renee.
Ideas are often born out of a need. How did the Washington Ear come into existence?
Well, this is a really great story. Our founder was Dr. Margaret Rockwell. She went blind during her 20s while she was in college. She was earning a regular degree and a PhD. She was obviously very bright, and this was a serious problem for her. She was challenged by it. She took the challenge. So 47 years ago, in 1973, she heard about a radio reading service that had just been opened a few years before in Minnesota. So off she went to Minnesota. She heard that this service was founded by a blind man and a sighted engineer, and together they put together a news and information show for people who are blind or have low vision or have another disability that prevents them from reading print material. So she visited with them, she spoke with them, she came back, and she just started right in working to found this organization. She organized the board. She raised all the money the first year by herself. So you could say she was really a dynamo, and she was persistent. And so she founded the Washington Ear in 1973, and then in 1974, we had our first radio broadcast. It was 6 hours a day. We're now 24/7. It was articles from the Washington Post, and if anybody's been around long enough, I have, the Evening Star. You might remember that in D.C. we had a morning paper and an evening paper.
Yes.
So it was 6 hours a day of that, and it was made possible because WEDA FM provided access to a subcarrier frequency on their FM station. And so they donate that to us, and that's how our radio came to be. And then she wasn't satisfied with that. She was a mover and a shaker. And over her 36 years of leadership and inspiration, next thing you know, in 1981, you can cut me off anytime, but I'm not through. She developed the art and process of audio description because Arena Stage had gotten a grant. We all know Arena Stage. It's very revered here. They do wonderful work. Their stage manager had gotten a grant for accessibility for people who are blind, and they called her and said, can you help us? And she said, oh, can I ever help you? Because she loved the theater. She loved the ballet. And so she needed somebody to work with her, a sighted person. So she was well-known in the community. She went to everything. She had met a man named Cody Fansteel at some gathering. She thought he was very bright, which he was. If you remember back, way back, he was the spokesperson for Metro. So they worked together. They watched movies together, and she determined what she needed and how they would do this, and they worked together on it. And that's how audio description got going, and it's used around the world now. And Sylvia is an audio describer, and she's going to tell you all about that. It's just a great, Reverend Ray, I know you've used the service. It just tells you what's visual that you can't tell from the dialogue, and then you put that together with the dialogue. We don't analyze the play. You analyze the play based on what you know from the audio description and from the dialogue, and then you can totally enjoy the play and appreciate its message. So then, 10 years later, she added the telephone dial-in service, and at first, that wasn't well received by other reading services. They thought that wasn't genuine and true, but actually, Stuart's going to tell you how great it is, and Reverend Ray, I know you use dial-in too. It's a great service. It lets you skip and scan the newspaper or the magazines. You don't have to be held onto whatever is on the radio at the time. Like right now, Wall Street Journal's airing. You might love that, might not. But you can go into the dial-in anytime, day or night, and you can pick what you want to hear. And so in 1990, this is very cool and very important, Dr. Fansteel was awarded a television Emmy for her leadership and persistence, that's a word that describes her, in the development and implementation of television for people who are visually impaired. So she was a pioneer because that didn't become part of law until later. But now it's being phased in, and more there is description on television. And we can just thank her for that. She did so many things, and she was fierce. She until the day she died, she was out there raising money and telling people what to do, and they did it. And we all do what she said. And now we still need the same audition.
Let me jump in here and ask you a question. And sure, it's a fantastic story. What geographic area does the ear serve?
We serve all of the state of Maryland and all of the state of Virginia and all of the District of Columbia. And we can do that. The radio has a 50-mile radius from the WETA tower, transmitter tower in Arlington, and then there's another tower in Hagerstown. But for any place that the radio doesn't serve, the dial-in serves it all because we have an 800 number for Virginia and an 800 number for Maryland, so nobody has to pay. We don't charge for our services, and there's no charge for the phone call, and you can listen for hours if you want to. It's all taken care of.
So there's a difference between the radio broadcast and the dial-in service, correct?
Big difference, yes. The radio has a set schedule.
Explain that to us a little bit. We're going to be going to a break in about a minute, but if you could at least get us started on the difference between the two services, and when we come back from break, we will be joined by Stuart, and he can broaden that whole picture of volunteers and what a day looks like. But give us a little insight into the two services that you offer now, or those services that you offer now.
The radio, we provide the radio free of charge, and it has a set schedule, and so it just has an on-off button, and which is also the volume. It's easy. It has a schedule. We let people know what it is, and then that is sort of self-contained. With the dial-in, we give an unlisted number to people who are listening, and we give them a security code and an ID number, and we also let them know each program has a code, and they just use touch buttons on their phone, and they can choose the publication they want. They can choose the articles. they're tired of something, they can move on to something else.
Okay, we're going to come back to you on the other side. We hear the music. This is Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and we are talking to representatives from the Washington Ear, and we will join them on the other side of the ID break.
You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every first and third Friday of the month. We always have new guests. We have new ideas. We have ideas that have to do with being a person with a disability, blind, low vision, and for seniors. So tune in every first and third Friday.
All righty, so we're back, Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and we are talking to representatives from the Washington Ear. And Ms. Renee and Ms. Neely, I always like to take credit for I was part of Ms. Marcus of success, because both of us was in the same class when we was getting our first CNI dogs. And she was talking about this idea then up in New Jersey, Morristown, CNI. And, of course, a lot of people was like, oh, man, you know, something like that's never going to be able to happen. But the great lady she was, she made it happen. So, Ms. Renee, go ahead and bring up our next guest.
Yeah, well, Neely was making a really good point. So you give them a special rate. You give, what do you call them, customers, or do you call them
listeners.
Listeners.
We call the people who use our service our listeners. And,
So
we provide the radio free of charge. They can keep it as long as they want it.
Okay, and that's for which particular service?
That's the radio.
That's for the radio.
Yes.
Okay, got you. Okay. And then the other service is via telephone, correct?
That's right. We have actually two other smaller services that are also, I'll just quickly say what they are. We have a lookup service every evening, 7 to 9.
We're
going to
talk a little
bit
about the lookup service when we get Sylvia on.
Oh, okay.
So I don't want to take her thunder.
I don't want to step on her toes.
Idea of the difference, because I think sometimes, and a person who's not as familiar with it as you are, it all sort of runs together, and we're not really sure how that goes. So I'm going to bring Stuart up, because I want to hear a little bit about the volunteers that you have, and then I want to come back to find out who qualifies for this service. So, Stuart, what are you looking for in a volunteer? And let me just remind listeners that this is Stuart Brown. He is the dial-in program manager at the Metropolitan Washington CNI. What are you looking for in a volunteer?
Well, hello, Reverend Ray and Miss Renee. It's a pleasure talking with you once again.
The last time we saw you with you and your beautiful wife, Miss Sarah, was going in Greenbelt Theater.
That's exactly right. And we were watching a play produced by Norma Ozur, who used to read for us as a volunteer. Yeah.
Wow.
So this is great.
I didn't realize she was a reader. I didn't realize. Oh, okay. Didn't realize she was a reader.
So the circle is complete. Okay.
Yeah.
So, what are you looking for in a volunteer?
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's all sorts of attributes that are very highly desirable. One, of course, is that they're able to read without stumbling over their words. And each volunteer goes through an audition process. The audition takes about 30 minutes, and the results are evaluated. And if they pass, then they come back in for an orientation. So we're looking for people who are dedicated, interested in the mission of the ear, and who are also able to devote 2 hours a week. That's what we look for. So, for example, a volunteer would come in. I might need somebody to read the editorial pages on Wednesday, for example, from the Washington Post. So he or she would come in. We would do the orientation. I would get them scheduled in. We start early in the morning, like 6 o'clock. Because, of course, everybody likes to get up and read the paper while they're getting ready for having breakfast or on their way to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so the volunteer would come in, and as I say, we allow 2 hours for each section. And I average about 20 volunteers a day. So each volunteer puts in 2 hours. You can see it takes 40 volunteer hours per day to get all the material in.
Wow.
And that's a combination of the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the People Magazine, Time Magazine, Washingtonian, all the food ads, of course. So there's a lot involved there.
So take us through a typical day. What time do you get there? You said your first volunteers start early. So take us through a typical day. You said you've got 40 volunteers. That's like having a classroom of people that you are constantly changing and responsible for.
Yes. So I get there around 5:30 in the morning, and that allows me time to get things set up for the day, because I have to prepare the newspapers and the magazines. I have to code every article. Every article gets a 4-digit code number, which the volunteer then enters into a keypad, and as soon as they start reading, the computer knows where to put this particular information. And so my responsibility is to make sure that coding of the paper is accurate, because if it's not accurate, then the system's not going to work. That's something I can do in my sleep. I have to say, I've been doing this for 21 years now, 21 years this
wow.
month, in fact. And
wow.
We have 16 radio recording studios. So I'm responsible for making sure that anybody who has a problem, possibly with pronunciation, for example, technical issues, perhaps the mic stops working, things like that. So that's my responsibility each day. And, of course, the motivating the volunteers as well. The photographs, I find the volunteers they really have a problem with that, some of them. Some of them are very, very good at describing photographs, but mm-hmm. it seems to be how shall I put it? I think it's a state of mind, really, because most of them do
yes.
a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I'll get somebody who said, if I ask them to do a little more, they'll say, are there any photographs in that? Can I have something without photographs? and we interact all day long in the office, and it's come and go outside of my office, which is open onto the hallway where all the studios are. So I'm not up at the front of the office where everybody else is. I'm at the back end in the production end of the building.
Let me jump in here for a moment and ask you a question. You talk about coding the stories. How do you decide which stories will be read?
Oh, we read everything from the Washington Post and everything mm-hmm. from USA Today. And that's all broken up into sections, as you, Ray, are familiar with, because you would enter the publication number, and then you're given a menu of choices to access each different section. And as Neely mentioned, once you're in, you can listen for as long as you want. Today's paper, for example, will be in for 48 hours. So tonight at midnight, the computer will do its thing and roll over today's newspaper and become yesterday's Washington Post in a different directory. So you don't have to be at a radio at any particular time. You can call in at 4 minutes past 3 a.m. in the morning if you like, and you can listen to yesterday's paper. But all the articles are read. We don't do classified ads. Of course, there aren't any of those anymore. We don't do stock quotes, for example, but that's why we have the lookup service in the evening, the lookup service that Neely was talking about, where a volunteer is standing by at home, and somebody could call in and they would want information about job openings or the yellow pages or some stock quotes, something like that, because that's the sort of thing that we don't read during the day.
Well, you mentioned you talked about the sitting in the nice soundproof booths with the headphones in the back. Now, what adjustments have you made during this COVID-19 era?
Well, of course, we're not there in the offices, and the studios are empty now. So I work from home in Annapolis, and it's very much the same. I don't have the space, of course. My desk is very small, and I don't have newspapers to lay out because I get it all on my computer monitor sitting in front of me. The Washington Post I can see, and I use the e-replica version, which is a mirror image of the actual paper copy. And it's easy to skip through from page to page and zoom in and enlarge so that you can actually read it. Many of my home readers use this system at home to read into the dial-in service. So again, I start around 5:30 and I get everything set up for the day, and the volunteers start calling in around 6 o'clock to get their assignments from me. And so I can do all of this from home. I have access to the dial-in computer systems at home, so I can see what's going on. And again, if there are any technical issues, I can usually take care of it, even from remote.
That is an amazing. Okay, you've got 30 seconds to make a pitch for volunteers. What do you want someone listening that says, hey, that sounds like something I'd like to do? What do you want them to know and come in and get the and have an audition?
Well, the first thing to know is that we're very friendly. We're like a family. And the first thing to do would be to call the office number, 301-681-6636, and speak to either Dave or Sylvia or Neely. And you would then arrange to come in for an audition. And there's a form to fill in with some contact information. And then you would do the audition. It takes about 30 minutes, and you're in a studio, soundproof studio. And once you're done, it's a very easy process, and there's no need to feel intimidated or anything. Of course, you know, there's always an element of nervousness and anxiety doing something like this. But once you get through it and you get the news that you've passed, oh my goodness, that's the joy. They're so happy when they come in. Really, they're so looking forward to coming in to be oriented and set up with a schedule and get started to read.
Yeah.
Okay, do you need a background?
It's very straightforward.
Okay. Do you need a background in acting or debate or elocution, or do you need that kind of a background?
Not necessarily. I do have some volunteers who were former speech therapists, for example, in the Montgomery County school system. I have retired people who've retired from the State Department, people who've retired from all walks of life, all different types of careers, and they are all. They're also dedicated, and they contribute. We couldn't do this without them. We're reliant totally, 100% on our volunteers. I have 250 volunteers just for the dial-in service alone, and I manage and schedule all my own volunteers. That's the most challenging part of the job, actually.
Wow. Give us that number one more time so people can give a call in to Neely or to you or to Sylvia to audition. What's that number again?
Of course, that number again is 301-681-6636.
All right. Okay, well, we are up against the break. Reverend Ray, can you take us out?
Yes, we can. You're listening to Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show, heard here every first and third Friday of the month at 3 p.m. to 4 on East Coast time. And you can go to our website, which is www.disability1radio.com to listen to past shows. And we're going to come on back on the other side to introduce you to another staff member of the Washington Ear.
We want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium dog food. If your dog needs it, they have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV, so give them a call at 202-747-3434. 202-747-3434. And you are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We're here, heard here every first and third Friday. And our website is disability1radio.com. That's disability1radio.com. Well, we're joined in this this last segment by Sylvia Rosenthal. When Neely was telling me what Sylvia did at the Washington Ear and gave me this long list of things that she does, I said, "What does she do in her spare time?" So it's quite it was quite expansive. Thank you, Sylvia, for joining Stuart and Neely.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting us.
Pleasure
to be with you.
What is audio description talking pictorially, and why do we need it?
It's narrated description of key elements which viewers with vision loss would ordinarily miss. The trained describer, and it's like the reading volunteers go through an audition process and training, but the trained describer inserts descriptions of critical visual elements into natural pauses in the dialogue, including actions, costumes, props, gestures, facial expressions, scene changes, on-screen text, and all of this is delivered through a wireless headset so that other audience members are not disturbed.
Okay, so is there a special training to learn how to do this?
Absolutely. An audition and a training, much like the dial-in and radio service readers, there's first an audition, and if you pass the audition, then you go through an intensive training.
Okay. Now, is it just for theater, live theater, or can this be adapted for other venues?
Both. Our service is for the live theater, but if anybody happens to go to the Smithsonian National Museum of American History, I also do audio description for the museum, as many others do. There's audio description for movies, for any place that needs description that's lost without vision, there is a way to describe.
Well, you know, I want to tell a quick personal story here. My husband, who is blind, and we had gone to a movie, and I oftentimes fill in the audio description a role. And on this particular film, it was his first time using audio description for film. And so there was a particularly interesting scene on the screen, and I was wondering if he was getting it, and I heard him go, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. I thought, oh, they are doing a really, really good job. So it brings it alive, and it's best for a person who is a recipient of audio description to tell you about that. Let me jump back over to Neely for a moment. Neely, who's a good candidate for Washington Ear Services, both the audio description and the reading service and the lookup service? And we do want to talk a little bit more about the lookup service. But who's a good candidate for this service?
Well, anyone who has a print impairment, the person might be blind, the person might have low vision and be able to read, for instance, large print, or the person may have some other disability. Maybe they have Parkinson's and can't hold the newspaper. They might be a stroke victim. Anybody who has trouble reading print, regular print, is certainly a candidate for our services, and we would love to hear from them because Everything we provide is free, and we want to just make a difference in the lives of people. So anybody who would need that for different reasons, lots of different reasons, we would welcome them.
You know, and I'm so glad that you mentioned something broader than blind and low vision. My mother had Parkinson's disease, and she lived in another state, and this service was not available. And my mother had been a voracious reader all of her life, got two newspapers, the morning and the afternoon paper, all of my life. And so all of a sudden, she's cut off from a lot of personal information. In small towns, people rely on the newspapers to find out what's happening in the community. Perhaps someone has passed, any number of things. So it's a vital resource for persons who are challenged. Reverend Ray, I want to bring you in here. You have used this service. What has been your experience with the service?
Great, 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 with capital G's. You know, being blind, and like I say before, Ms. Fanfield, found this service, getting someone to read to you, and we didn't have all these reading devices and print readers and all. And so once this service has started, it just opened up a whole nother world to you in terms of what's out there, what's going on for the day, what happened in the news, and then the dial-up service. As well as having someone to call, be able to call and ask someone to look up a street for you or a store for you. It's just been a wonderful service. And I mean, and one of the questions I also would like to ask Neely to share, because they don't get paid with monopoly money or pay bills with monopoly money, and just share with us how to support it and what people can do that wants to donate to, because it is a nonprofit organization. So, Neely, if you would share with us real quick ways to donate to Washington EL.
Sure. I mean, that's so generous of you, Reverend Ray. I wasn't going to mention that. But, yes, we are a nonprofit, so donations are deductible for people who make the donations. We have a donate button on our website. And people could mail us a check. There are different ways to do it, and we would certainly be most happy to receive any donation that somebody wanted to make. We do receive some funding from each jurisdiction whose residents we serve. I think that there's going to be some diminishing of that in the next year because of this incredibly terrible crisis that we're going through right now. And some foundations do provide funding, and we have to just sort of hold fundraisers and send out pleas for the rest of it. But if anybody wanted to, we would happily receive it.
Well, I know, I know once a year you all had an annual major fundraiser. And I don't know if you all had that this year or not, and don't know what's going to happen in the year to come. Isn't that correct? You always have a volunteer fundraiser?
That volunteer luncheon isn't actually a fundraiser. That's a thank you, a hearty thank you to our volunteers. But sometimes people do donate through that. A volunteer might donate, or a listener, we invite listeners too, they might donate because of it. But that is a time when we just want to hug everybody and let them know that they are making a difference for people in a big way and how grateful we are. I think before I came here, they did something with a group. It wasn't Catholic Charities. It was at the Knights of Columbus. It was somehow related to them, and it was a dance. But they weren't doing that. I think it wasn't. We didn't cut it off, but I think the other group did. So we do send out a quarterly letter updating our listeners, and we do give the opportunity to make a donation, but we do not make any judgment on anybody who does not donate. We don't keep a list like that of people who don't donate. We appreciate the ones who do, and some people might put $2 in an envelope, and we know that that might have been a hardship for them, and we're happy for it. And somebody else might write a bigger check, and we're grateful for everything that anybody would give.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. Now, you know, one of the things that Neely mentioned, Sylvia, is that you do some public policy work. How does public policy affect the Washington ear?
Well, we don't do any lobbying, but what we do is follow policy developments that have an impact for our listeners. So, for example, the audio description of television programming. In fact, that's how I first met Margaret Van Steele, was we were both involved in a coalition that was arguing for audio description of not only television, but so much now that is on the online, so many videos now online, and the idea that it should be audio described just like it's captioned for the deaf. So that's one of the issues. The emergency, the FCC is also responsible for emergency alert systems and making sure they're accessible. So there are many policy-related issues that have an impact for our listeners.
And sometimes we don't see the connection between an organization like the Washington Ear and what's going on in Washington. But you have helped us see that connection and why it's so important. And especially next year's budget is going to be severely impacted by what's going
absolutely.
On.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so we do have to keep our eyes and ears, that's not a pun, our eyes and ears attuned to what's going on. Neely, let me come back to one other thing, because people are listening and not as familiar with the service. How does a person know whether or not they qualify they can get information from you, and I want you to give us that number again. But how do they know whether or not they qualify if they're not blind or low vision, but maybe have some other presenting situation?
Well, all we require is a statement from someone who's qualified to certify that the person has either a disability, a vision loss, or whatever the circumstances. It could be a physician, it could be a social worker, anyone who is qualified to certify that, the eligibility.
Okay.
And then, as Neely said, everything is absolutely free.
And that is an amazing. It's an amazing service to believe, to understand that it is free. And Neely, I'm so glad that you mentioned the whole variety of people who donate, because oftentimes people think if they can't give $25 or $50 or $100, that their donation doesn't count. But it's so gratifying to hear that, depending on your circumstance, even $2. Depending on your budget, can be a huge sacrifice. Reverend Ray, you are awfully quiet over there for somebody who lives and breathes by being on the Washington Ear. Can you tell us again what in the community, in the blind community, what kind of feedback do you get about the value of the Washington Ear?
Well, I can tell you the value that we got not too long ago when Prince George's County was going to not pony up with their portion of payment, which is smaller, and I'm trying to make it larger. A number of people blew the phones up in Prince George County government, and and they got their attention. So that's just how much important it is. And I had to speak the other day to a group, and I think we all getting zoomed out because we are capturing audience now. So I think we're having more meetings than we did physically. And so I was doing a presentation for a disability group, and one of the things, and they was asking me about, you know, and one of the things on my list is the different services, and Washington is, you know, right there in the top five. And one of the things I was pointing out about Washington Ear and some of the services, as was indicated here on the phone about this, that the funding going to drop, I was saying to the blind people and all that listen to Washington Ear and the what they call now the disabled, is that we realize how more important the Washington Ear is. So this is an indication that how important this service is with the people that's home now. They can't get out. It's something like the Washington Ear that's there to keep them connected with the world, because so many people with disabilities that usually take Metro Access to get out and go places and all, they are not doing that. And I know that we'll have a number. Now, Washington Ear, I forgot how many people they serve, but at least three times that number is more, because people are sharing their ID information with listening to the Washington Ear. So we really going to have to let people know how important it is to have this. So that's the music. So we're getting ready to go to a break. You're listening to Sight and Vision Disability Senior Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and we're going to come on the back end of the break to talk more about Washington Ear and close out with such a wonderful services and the representatives.
You are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio, heard here every first and third Friday. Today, our guest is the Metropolitan Washington Ear, and we are joined by the Executive Director, Neely Opliner, and the Dial-In Program Manager, Stuart Brown, and Sylvia Rosenthal, who is the editor of the Washington Ear Newsletter and Service Coordinator. So, back to our guest.
Yes, let me pick up and welcome again Miss Neely, Miss Sylvia, and Mr. Brown. And I want to ask you, Stuart, how did you come? Now I notice an accent there, and it's not Southern, and it's not Southeastern Washington. Where are you originally from, and how did you get thrown over here in Washington D.C., second Sin City from Las Vegas?
Well, yeah, you're right about the accent. I'm originally from Scotland, and you can certainly take the man out of Scotland, but you can't take the accent away. And when I came over here in 92, I arrived in the USA, and I wanted to use my voice to earn a living. And somebody put me in touch with the Washington Ear, a friend of my my wife's at the time. And so I called, and I went for an audition, just like the volunteers do. And I started out I wanted to do books. Because I like, reading children's stories. I get animated and I can use voices. And when I, in 92, when I went for my audition, they had just stopped doing books. That service was being provided from that point on by the by Minnesota Talking Books over the satellite. So I started off doing TV listings for the radio. And then I graduated to live broadcast of the Washington Post. And then after, the end of 93, I was offered the job as a dial-in manager at that time. And it was only a little part-time job. We just did the Post and Time magazine. That was it.
Saying that this is the only job that you have since you've been here in America?
Yes.
You didn't have to flip hamburgers and work your way up or nothing like that, huh?
No. No, I didn't have to do that. I did get an engineering job in Annapolis at the Marriott Waterfront Hotel. But after six months, I was disillusioned with corporate America, and I went back to the ear. I preferred the nonprofit section. I'd like to pick up on something that Ray mentioned about Prince George's County when they were, you know, dithering about whether they were going to give us some money. And just to say that as a result of your work there, Ray, they did, of course, come through. But also, we started at that time reading the Prince George's County Community
yes,
Connections newsletter. And that's right now, that's at least once a week and probably twice because there's so much information. And that can be accessed in the dial-in service in publication 4, category 32.
32, yeah. I read it all the
yeah.
time. And I always mention it when I'm at the meetings with the councilman, me working for a councilman, Mr. Hawkins. I always mention that to the county exec and Miss Eunicia. I mention that all the time. So, yeah, we thank you
for
jumping on that. Neely, let me ask you real quick. People like to know about the people that's doing certain things in the Washington area. How did you come to the Washington ear? And then, Sylvia, what you pick up from her, how did you come to the Washington
sure.
ear?
Well, it's very interesting there, too, because I've known the auditor for the Washington ear for, longer than we want to say it, over 50 years. and they had a director, and she had left. And so he knew that I was had gone back to work, and he said, you know, there's this job opening, and you really should go and talk to Dr. Fansteel. She's so brilliant, and you would love her. And I said, oh, it sounds administrative. That was, and at the beginning, it was more in administrative. I said, I'm sort of a backroom writer. And he said, oh, just go and meet her, Neely. So I went for the interview, and she was pretty persuasive, and she was so bright and so, you know, just amazing, really. And so she put me on the spot. I mean, I was trying to think, do I want this? Should I take this? You know, she's pretty cool. What do I want to do? And she offered it to me on the spot, which I didn't expect. And I did a split-second decision saying, if I say I have to think about it, I'm done here. So I said, oh, yes, I'd love to have it. And so it was really a lucky choice because she was wonderful. I will say she was fierce, and she did yell at me a lot at the beginning because I couldn't keep everything straight, like all the acronyms of the NFB and the AFB and the ACB and all this.
Yeah.
And I got it mixed up one time too many, and she let me have it. So I wrote it down and kept it on my desk. And we got along really well after that. And she had a very sweet, wonderful side. She had a fierce side to get things done. And I'm very thankful that I took the job. And now I'm part of this family with Stuart and Sylvia and Dave and others and all these fantastic volunteers who are just amazing, the heart of our organization. And I think I ended up in a really good place, and I hope I'm doing
good. How many years ago you be celebrating?
13. I just passed 13 years here.
Okay, Miss Sylvia, you're up.
Oh, well, actually, I started out as a volunteer when I retired because I had worked very closely with a coalition. I directed a coalition that included national disability rights leaders. Mm. And so I got to know most of the organizations, that are the nonprofits that represent people with vision loss. And when I was retiring, my mother, who had lost an eye to cancer and also had glaucoma and macular degeneration, when she died, the rabbi said to us at the end of our period of mourning, he says, now I want you to think of something you can do to honor your mother's memory. Well, I couldn't think of anything better than to volunteer at the Metropolitan Washington Ear. And that was my my purpose. My goal was just to be a volunteer. But one day Neely came to me. Well, I started reading, and then the opportunity to audition for audio description, and that came along. And then Neely came to me one day and said, how would I like to work there? Because the listener coordinator was leaving town. So now I do that too.
Wow.
And that's
how
I got there.
Well, we have a few minutes left, but in a couple of minutes, nearly before we give your contact information again, would you tell us the name of the president of your board? Because all nonprofit organizations have to have a board of directors. Unfortunately, that's just the law. Who's the name of your board? And just give us one goal that you are looking for next year. Or this year, other than paying the bills.
Yeah, other than that. Terry Pacheco, who is an employee of the FCC and has low vision, she is our board president now. And for many, many years after Dr. Fansteel died, Freddie Pico was our board president. I think you know, you've met Terry,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure you
yes.
know Freddie very well. And so we actually have 5 blind members on our board, and they obviously contribute quite a bit to our mission. And so that's that. And our goal for going forward is just, I think our goal is always, after our goal of keeping going, is to let more people know about us, have even more outreach, so that because we know there are more people out there who could really benefit from our services. And so I would say that's always a big goal for us, is to help more people.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Renee, would you individually thank our guests and tell them how they can hear this show?
We will do that as soon as Neely lets us know how we can contact the Washington Ear to make a donation, to volunteer, so that we can keep a steward up at 5:30 in the morning and Sylvia coordinating everything. Can you give us contact information?
Yes. So our telephone number for the main office is 301-681-6636. And we have a general email address, and it's information@washear.org. That's washear.org. And our website is washear.org. Boy, I got my O's all mixed up there. Okay, I better say that again. www.washear.org. And it's new. It's not all working. All aspects of it aren't working yet. But the donate button's on there, and it works. And so we're going to try to get everything else to work as well. But it's new.
Well, Reverend Ray, why don't you thank our guests? And we're up against the clock.
Okay, so I want to thank you all thank you for this information, Ms. Neely, Ms. Sylvia, and Stuart, and we'll look forward to down the line having you all on again, and we're certainly going to encourage the different organizations that we have on our show to donate and sponsor you all. Thank you very much.
Well, we thank you.
Well, thank
you. We want to thank you most sincerely. This is a great opportunity.
All
thank
right.
you both,
have
and,
a, nice
and a big woof for Ray.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Mr. Day.
All right, listeners, you have been listening to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. Have an idea for a show? Contact us in all the usual ways. Email us at or call us at 301-377-6468. Want to listen to past shows or listen to this show? Check us out at disability1radio.com. That's disability1radio.com. Take us out, Reverend Radio Ray.
All righty. You've been listening to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. My time is up. I thank you for your time. Until the next time, this is Reverend Ray, and I like to say, I might not have sight, but I can have vision. God bless and be blessed.